Welcome to the English Language Institute of Singapore's podcast series, Windows on Expertise. In this series, we feature guest speakers and experts who have expertise both in the classroom as well as in research, who speak about literacy development and language teaching, learning, and assessment. In this episode, we focus on multiliteracies, which is the expanded notion of literacies. Now, multiliteracies is one of the key pedagogical emphases of the English language syllabus. I'm Mei Yin, and with me are Dr. Victor Lim Fei and Mrs. Grace Yang. Victor is Associate Professor with the English Language and Literature Academic Group in the National Institute of Education. Mrs. Grace Yang is Subject Head of Educational Support in Yio Chu Kang Primary School. Victor and Grace, tell us, why are you such ardent advocates of the practice of multiliteracies in Singapore classrooms? What value is there to our children? Perhaps Grace, you might want to tell us first.
Right, thank you, Dr. Tay. I think one of the things that stood out for me when I was using multiliteracies as a pedagogy in class was the increased engagement in the student, right? Because of the resources that we had hunted down were customized to their needs of the students. I found that the students could make readily text-to-self connections, right? And they looked forward to the classes. They were more willing to take a risk in class, to participate sometimes orally, sometimes just by participating in group work. They particularly enjoyed talking to each other, right? And I think for me as a teacher, I found that to be extremely gratifying. It was very fulfilling to have that happening in my class.
Victor, you have done extensive research at the primary and secondary levels in our Singapore classrooms. Is that the same perspective that you have gathered from your own research findings in other teachers' classrooms?
Absolutely. In fact, I can offer an explanation, I suppose, for the increased engagement that Grace observed in her lesson. This is something that we have seen in many of the classrooms that we work with in Singapore as well. And one of the tenets of multiliteracies really is to make the connection between the students' out-of-school literacy experiences, the kind of media experiences they have, the kind of involvement they have on social media, and to make that connection back to the classroom. So when you, in the multiliteracies classroom, when you bring in authentic resources from the students' life world, it's something that they are really excited about because they can see the relevance of the learning of language beyond just for the assessment, but something that they can see relevant to the kind of literacy practices they have out of school as well. And that is something that is really engaging for them, I would say. So I'm not surprised that you experienced that sort of very intense enjoyment amongst the students because of the kind of practices that you have put in place.
Victor, how do the findings from the Singapore classrooms, right, both at the primary and secondary levels, mm-hmm. situate themselves in relation to the international research?
Mm. Now, this is a big question in a sense that it's both unique and at the same time consistent to what we have found. Now, Singapore is unique in the sense that we are one of the forerunners in terms of integrating multiliteracies into our curriculum. So we would know that the notion of multiliteracies was first introduced by the New London Group way back in 1996 in the manifesto. So this is about 25 years ago. But we know that Singapore has been one of the first to introduce viewing into the syllabus in the year 2000, so about 23 years ago. So as a result, our teachers and students have had a long runway in terms of building up their competencies with in relation to the learning of multiliteracies. And because of that, there was a natural confidence amongst our teachers in the teaching of multiliteracies. And this was something that was unique to Singapore when compared to the rest of the world. What was similar in relation to what we were doing in Singapore as compared to the rest of the other countries that have also adopted multiliteracies in their curriculum was the fact that we tended to focus on the use of multimodal resources in preparation for language learning. So for instance, we have a lot of multimodal resources, multimedia text, videos used to help students as a way to engage them before they start writing, as a way to scaffold their learning of writing. And the other part that we see similar is the fact that while there's a focus on the use of multiliteracies for language learning, there was a lesser emphasis on the use of multiliteracies as learning itself. So teaching the knowledge and skills related to the viewing and representing with multimodal text, creating more opportunities for students to make multimodal text in the classroom. So this was something that we felt was, there were still opportunities to develop both in Singapore as well as has been reported in many parts of the countries, many parts of the world that have integrated multiliteracies in their curriculum.
Victor, what would you say is holding teachers back from doing exactly what the research has found about teachers not taking so quickly and easily to the teaching and learning of viewing and representing?
One of the challenges that we found, interestingly, when we spoke to our students after the lesson, or the questions they asked about whether this is going to be tested in the examination, how would this prepare me for the final assessment? In one of the papers that we wrote from a little study that we conducted, we call this the spectre of assessment, because when we conducted a focus group discussion with the students and teachers after the multiliteracies lesson, we made sure not to mention exams or assessment, but invariably it would crop out in the discussions. And this were really on the top of the minds of both the teachers, but you'd be surprised that the students themselves were also concerned.
What is your view, Grace? Do you identify with what Victor has just outlined in relation to the challenges that Singapore teachers face in relation to practice of multiliteracy?
Definitely can relate to the challenges about, you know, how does this relate to assessment, right? Students sometimes feel guilty, you know, that they have enjoyed the lesson so much and they're wondering, like, you know, am I going to be tested? How is this going to help me? So I think with assessment, I think it's going to be there. We know that, you know, at the end of the road, there is going to be assessment. But I think in terms of me as an English teacher, I think sometimes I ask myself, does my classroom just need to be assessment? I mean, multiliteracies, I do want my students to be confident speakers. I want them to be also able to enjoy the lessons, to be motivated to learn by themselves, and to be able to make connections with the world beyond the classroom, to always have that curiosity about them, to have that joy in learning.
Grace, what does your practice of multiliteracies development in your classroom look like?
I think I will talk about this in context of a unit that we have done in school. So we wanted the P4 class that we were teaching to do a unit, a writing exercise on adventure. So we went about looking for some of the resources. So we wanted a whole range of resources. We had a visual, we had a video. We also had a blog post made by one of our local celebrities. So with that in mind, we went on to craft our learning experience. So we all know that, you know, we have limited time in the classroom. So very fortunately, we have now SLS. So we put up some of these more text-based kind of material on the SLS for the students' own learning. And we used ITT tool in quite an extensive way for them to engage them and to ensure that everybody puts in their part. And they were able to read and then they were able to put in their responses. And then as teachers, what we did is that we went into these some of the responses and we edited on them. And then we printed it up for them as a resource for the filing, as well as for them to have as a resource when they are writing. So that was for the viewing part. And we decided that, hey, why don't we include a listening component in there as well? And so the idea came that maybe we should teach them a little bit of origami. So with that, the students listened to instructions. They were very willing to listen to the instructions and they folded the board, right? And with that board, we were able to talk about words like capsize. What did a capsize mean? What does it mean? It's not the same as just sinking. And I thought that generated, they were able to generate some of their own vocabulary list as well. We gave them the room to express their story either in words or in pictures. And we were able to use these pictorial representations eventually, looking at the pictures, asking them like, hey, can you elaborate a little bit more about the setting in your picture? Right? Was it a dark night? Was it a bright day? Was it cold? Was it hot? They gave us some leverage, deepening what they were trying to say. So with that, I think students were happy with that, right? Because I think it gave them their voice, gave them something to write that they wanted to write about. Now, this is a big departure than what we were used to, because most of the time, teachers that like me, I try to short-circuit, you know, this process sometimes by giving them cheat sheets. You know, I actually outlined the story for them. They really needed that help, but that was not right, because they will always tell me, teacher, I have nothing to write. It's like, I've given you the story. Why don't you have anything to write? So with this experience, I found that they were more willing to permit. They were more willing to take a risk, you know, to step out of like, hey, do you think I can write this way? They were more willing to ask me a question, because I think they felt some ownership with that.
And that shows to me that with such an approach of building multiliteracies, you have cultivated in your students that inquiry, you know, that curiosity, that disposition of being an inquirer.
I would say that what Grace offered to us as an anecdote is a wonderful example of how many teachers, both in Singapore and internationally, have designed learning experiences for multiliteracies as well. So I like the fact that in the anecdote that she described, there was that moving beyond just focus on thinking, but getting students to feel, to experience the different types of activities, getting them to act, to do both creating origami, drawing images. And I think these are the tenets of multiliteracies.
So Victor, in the definition of multiliteracies, which is an expanded notion of literacies, there is the view that the teaching of viewing and representing should be integrated with the teaching of grammar, vocabulary, speaking, listening, as well as writing. How do you think teachers can prepare themselves to rise to this challenge of expanding students' literacy development beyond just literacy into multiliteracies?
Now, I guess one of the key things that we want to bring about through the work with teachers is also the mindset shift to see themselves beyond just language teachers, but literacy educators. And when you see yourself as a literacy educator, you must ask yourself the question of what does it mean to be literate in today's digital age? If you look at the kind of communicative practices that our young people are engaged in out of school, if you think about the kind of future workplace literacy demands on them, being able to give presentations, being able to put together information and present it in a multimedia manner, all these are new workplace literacies that students need to be prepared for. So I guess that the mindset is very important.
Grace, how would you respond to that as a teacher of English language and being used to teaching the range of more conventional areas of language learning, grammar, vocabulary, right, reading, speaking, listening, writing. How do you feel about now incorporating viewing and representing?
One of the things that I have come to appreciate greatly, having adopted this way of teaching, is that normally we like to think of the end products of what is it that we want to gather at the end of the lesson, right? So we would think of comprehension as a lesson, vocabulary as another lesson, etc. But with multiliteracies, I find that with the integration of all these skills can be taught as we proceed. So what I have found is that, you know, the use of all the different resources, right, has lent itself actually very nicely to the teaching of oracy quite naturally. The students are also able to look at the resources and actually learn for themselves. And as a teacher myself, you know, it challenges me to be able to be a good facilitator for their learning.
Thank you, Grace. Victor, in the research that you have looked at as well as engaged in, what would you say have been the noticeable differences in students who are multiliterate?
We have seen how when students engage in some of the representing activities, we use the term digital multimodal composing, they were able to demonstrate creativity. They were able to have opportunities to collaborate with one another. We were able to see signs of critical thinking as well as semiotic awareness, where there was a sensitivity to the different types of modes being used. So I would say that multiliteracies will be able to help students develop language, specific skills in reading and writing, but at the same time also offer opportunities for students to develop 21st century competencies, things that we value, especially for the future ready learner.
So, Grace, what would you say the key aspects that teachers should take note of in order to build multiliteracies in their classrooms?
Being willing to take that step is important. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be convinced that this is the way to go. And I think with the EL 2020, we are aware that there is no turning back. We do need to move forward. Literacy has expanded, right, in today's terms.
Thank you for that, Grace. Victor, would you have any final words of wisdom and advice to give us in the English language community of teachers?
I would say that we are all in a very fortunate position in Singapore. We have a very forward-looking education system, and we have been amongst the first to very quickly took a very decisive step to broaden our understanding of literacy beyond language learning to include multiliteracies. And so the curriculum sends a very strong signal to our teachers, recognizing that what we do in preparation for students to be future ready, to be able to engage with the literacy needs of the digital age, is not something additional or something that is extra, but it's something that's totally aligned with the curriculum. And I will say also that as teachers in the classroom, they do have a lot of agency in terms of encouraging students and creating activities to have students view and represent with multimodal text. And I think that would go a long way in terms of advancing the building of multiliteracies amongst our students so that they can become future ready in the digital age.
Thank you so much, Victor and Grace, for putting forth your very frank and direct views about the value of multiliteracies. And so with that, thank you for being with us as our experts, teacher, educator, researcher, and the classroom practitioner. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.